Edge, kicking off our second hour of the full three tonight, taking you till 7. Chris and Jeff along with you. Plenty to get into in today's action-packed 5 at 5. Brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, G-Day's over.
Uh-huh.
And
I just ate some peanut butter crackers. I better take a swig
of water. Take yourself a swig of water. No one wants to hear you chewing. Yeah.
Especially peanut butter there, right?
Yeah. All right, so G-Day is over. Jeff, what did I learn about Georgia this spring? Please, enlighten me. Well, okay. Is the offense better?
Yes.
Is the red zone defense better?
Well, we'll see. Here's the big thing with the offense.
The offense is better. It didn't look that way Saturday.
I think Jake Fromm is pushing Jacob Eason in every way, and that's a really good thing.
Right, but he's not going to be Georgia's star. Do you believe there's any semblance of a quarterback battle?
I think there's a legit battle there, but it's weighted heavily in Eason's favor.
Well, I think back to what you were talking about in the last segment about the about having new offensive coordinators and terminology and learning playbooks and things like that. I mean, Georgia's not just going to – but Georgia's got a year invested in getting their offense – in order with Chaney and Eason. They're just not going to basically start from scratch again with another true freshman, are they?
No, not unless I think Fromm was just miles and miles better. But it is a legitimate competition. And Fromm's going to play this year. Now, how much he's going to play, we'll have to wait and see. The other part of that, too, Kirby has talked about the offensive line getting better. And I think part of that, and I think Chip might have written this, too, and is that – I think you're boosting up your offensive line, and you're also probably pushing the defense a little bit by saying that. But I do think the line's got a chance to be better, having year two with Sam Pittman. I like the move of just settling with Isaiah Wynn at left tackle. He's been Georgia's best player. I'd like to have seen the Dogs do that a little bit earlier last season. So I think the offensive line has got a chance to be better. And also, I'm knocking on wood or for Mike or whatever this is, just heading into the season – knowing that both Chubb and Michelle are 100%, when last year, now granted Chubb had that incredible game against North Carolina, but we went into the season opener with a freshman quarterback, Sony was out, Chubb's coming off the knee injury, and the same question marks at quarterback, at a wide receiver and offensive line.
Sure. And then Chubb had a great game against North Carolina, like you said, but then he tweaked his ankle against Ole Miss,
yeah,
which was that the third
same.
Or fourth game?
Yeah, it was never the same.
Yeah. Now, the thing about Georgia last year, when you go back and look at the games where Georgia was successful running the ball was against poor running teams. And that was even with Chubb and Michelle last year, Georgia didn't stand out, aside from anyone. North Carolina had a terrible run defense. Georgia ran it against them. South Carolina was bad. Georgia ran it well against them. Kentucky was terrible. Georgia ran it well against them.
No, we couldn't block Nickel State.
Right. But teams,
the guy from what's that TV show? Last Chance U. No, we couldn't
block
him.
He was an all-star. But the teams with Ozzie run defenses last year, Georgia did have some success running the ball. But against good defenses, Georgia's offense did struggle last season. So, yeah, for a lot of the talk over the last couple of weeks about Georgia's offense and the offensive line getting the better of the defense, that was not the case in the two drives I saw Saturday. Georgia's offensive line struggled against Georgia's defense, at least the first unit versus the first unit. And Jacob Eason, two possessions I saw did not look very good. Threw an interception. He did hit one third and 19 pass to Wims, but he was under constant pressure. And, and Fromm looked pretty good. But he was throwing to the second-team defense, and Jeremiah Holloman had a couple of catches, but he was being covered by a walk-on named Tim Hill.
All right, let's go rapid-fire real quick. Georgia's starting quarterback for the Appalachian State game will be?
Jacob Eason.
Georgia's start. Well, we know Chubb and Michelle. We're in good shape at tailback. Christian Payne's a terrific fullback. Georgia's two starting wide receivers for the Appalachian State game will be
Javon Wims and Terry Godwin.
All right, we're in great shape at tight end with Nowden Blazevic at the top. I think, wouldn't you agree that we're going to see Wynn, Sims, and Galliard, three of the six who played last year. Galliard will be the center. We'll probably have Sims at a guard, Wynn at a tackle. Georgia's starting right tackle, assuming Sims plays a guard, and Georgia's starting other guard, whichever one Sims doesn't play. And I'm guessing Sims would play right guard.
I think we're going to see Kinley in there. And I believe Kinley did get one of those spring awards for he won one of the, I don't know, maybe most improved player something. So
the moving train. He's got a great nickname.
Yeah. I get,
and he was obviously number seven last year.
Right. And that's why I'm going to go ahead and say he gets in there ahead of any of the incoming true freshmen. But I don't know. Maybe there's a chance that like Andrew Thomas gets in there and is the right tackle. Is that what we're looking for?
I would. It might be. I would think it, I think Thomas is the prototypical left tackle, but that doesn't mean he won't start at right tackle. I'm going to guess Wilson at right tackle, Thomas at left tackle, having zero information.
So then Wilson, just by virtue of being the right tackle, would play, and then Thomas would be Wynn's backup. If we're just looking for a starting unit.
And then you'd be talking about in 2018, Thomas could slide right in for Wynn, and he and Wilson would be the tackles.
Yeah. Like, I suspected maybe some of, like, you know, Kirby's tone when it came to how the offensive line was performing against the defense. Because there was one moment during the spring I remember him saying something about the freshman offensive linemen who have already been anointed. And
I like that.
So
yeah.
Part of me thinks maybe some of that is, you know, you're obviously looking, trying to read between the lines and our messages being sent and whatnot. And maybe there was an element of that with some of those freshmen sitting out that, hey, our offensive line is looking pretty good now in the spring. And
that's
you
right.
Guys just don't come in here thinking these are going to be your jobs. You're going to play immediately as a freshman. You got to work. And you're going to have to push some guys for playing time, because then, I mean, what I saw on Saturday did not look great from Georgia's offensive line. It resembled an awful lot of what we saw last year.
I think, too, I like Georgia working Chris Barnes at center. And I still think with Ben Cleveland, he's going to play this year. I mean, Georgia needs to play him. I mean, this guy has big-time potential. But he's still a work in progress when it comes to the flexibility issues, getting in a stance, pad level. And I think Ben Cleveland's going to have an outstanding career at Georgia. I just have a feeling he's going to play some this year, but he's probably still a year away from being the kind of player that we all think he can be and hope he can be.
Right. And I guess he ended up not playing Saturday. I think he was injured.
But the big thing with Ben, I mean, when he came in, he played a lot of his high school career. He was in a two-point stance. He was just so much bigger than everybody. So he did a lot of yoga just to try and get more limber. Because I've just run into the kid a couple times around the Butzmere building and at the Kangaroo, just walking by him, knowing who he is. And he is massive. I mean,
I know.
He is massive.
Well, he was last year watching him in the spring game.
He's far and away the biggest dude out there.
I mean, that was one of my takeaways from a year ago in the spring was how big he was. Because it's when you think you got a guy that's standing at the line of scrimmage right next to SEC defensive linemen and other SEC offensive linemen, and he was noticeably larger than anyone else out there.
No, I agree. So I think Ben's got a really, really bright future. But it sounds like Kinley might be a little bit ahead of him. Then you got DeMarcus Hayes coming in from the JUCO ranks. I'm sure, like, you know, a lot of the incoming freshmen who enrolled early, he's probably lost in a lot of ways, but that's somebody else who can help. You know, so again, I think the line, for a couple of reasons, there's going to be more depth there. Now, a lot of it's going to be young with the three kids who redshirted and the four true freshmen coming in. So it's going to be a young line. But there is going to be more depth there. There is going to be more talent there. And I do think what you'll see with the three kids who redshirted last year, with the four coming in this year, plus Hayes, a junior college player, that when we're sitting here a year from now, I think we can finally say, all right, the offensive line in 2018, we got a chance to finally have a really good line again. And then you would think in 2019, you know, hopefully Jamari Salyer's here and Trey Hill, that Georgia could potentially have a great line. So we're on the way, but clearly, and Chris, from what you saw with your extensive film watching on Saturday, breaking it down.
Two drives for each side, and then I went, I've had enough of this.
I talked to one of my guys who's out at practice a good bit, and we were just chatting about the line. It's like, well, first of all, step one is to just get to where they're not getting knocked back into the backfield. And that's the thing. If you've got great backs, now you want to be able to move people in open holes. But if you've got great backs and a quarterback who can move, who's got a quick release, which obviously those are things that Eason's got to work on there, sometimes if the offensive line just creates a stalemate, you're okay. Now, when you can do, let's think about that 2012 Alabama team. They had two great backs in Lacy and Yeldon, and they had an offensive line that moved people in open holes. That's what you want to have. You want to have both of those hits. So a big step for us this year going forward on the O-line is going to be those guys up front just not getting knocked backwards consistently. And I think we got a chance to get there. And I also think year two with Sam Pittman and going with the one-on-one, the man-on-man blocking schemes there, I think you are going to see some improvement. Now, is it going to be the 72 Dolphins or the 78 Steelers offensive line or that Bama line from 2012? I don't think so.
No, in fact, it could end up being as bad as last year's line.
It could.
But the hope is that
you're on your way.
Next year's line will definitely be better than the 2016 and the 2017 lines.
Yes.
You're still at least – you're building something here as opposed to last year where you knew, like, this guy Tyler Catalina's coming in here,
for
and that's
one-year
doorstop.
Right. But you were putting your, you know, the old saying, you're putting your finger in a dike. The problem is you've only got two hands, and there are about 8-9 different holes going off. And he had a true freshman quarterback.
Right. Because there's a play Georgia ran a couple times last year that they could run it as – but it requires Eason actually having the protection for the play to come open and develop. But it's Isaac Nauta just in a crossing route over the middle. Because that's a matchup. Who's going to cover that guy? And the couple times Georgia did have the time to run it last season – it worked every single time, but it's not a play you could just rely on consistently because Georgia's offensive line couldn't consistently give Eason the time to throw. And like I said, the two times I saw it Saturday, it wasn't doing it either.
Well, and the two things that Georgia ran into last season as well. Number one, I think back, Chris, to the Missouri and the Ole Miss games. And the Missouri game when Georgia, just the first part of the game, could not run at all. Missouri had 10 players stacked up in, what would you say, 4, 5, 6 yards of the line. I mean, they were absolutely stacked in. There just wasn't any room. There wasn't any space. And against some of the better defensive lines at Georgia face, you ran into the deal exactly what you're talking about with giving Eason protection. And here's the problem. They were getting to him with 3- and 4-man rushes. And Georgia was also keeping in the tight end and or the fullback, or whether it was Chubb or Michelle or Harry and whoever. So you're using 6 or 7 blockers. They're getting to you with 3 or 4 guys. So that's when it feels like you're playing 11 against 14 because you're still getting pressured. But because of the numbers and they're only needing 3 or 4 to get there, you're throwing into double coverage. So, again, it looks like they got 14 guys on the field. That was definitely the case against Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Definitely the case against Florida.
And then you're not – I mean, and again, with so many players clogged up to the line of scrimmage, you're still going to have a – you're going to have a hard time running the ball, too. Now, and I guess that's why against Missouri they eventually did – Eason threw like 50 passes in that game, didn't he?
Yeah, and obviously that was – no formula to win. Now, the one thing, if you do against it, when they do clog it up like that, you can get some long runs. All you got to do is break one tackle and shoot through there. But those are definitely a couple of major concerns that we saw from opposing defenses last year, just stacking it up or just elite defensive lines able to get there with only 3 or 4. They're just not any options. And things like, well, you're just trying to live on short passes. You can't do that.
Well, that's why, yeah. I mean, priorities, Georgia's got to have receivers that can consistently catch the ball, but then they've got to find a guy that's a threat to stretch the field, too.
Take the lid off the teapot.
Yeah.
You got to be able to go deep.
Because that's, you know, even if Eason did have time to throw, if Georgia wasn't a threat to actually hit any passes downfield, you're still looking at a situation where those defenses are just clogging, you know, the line of scrimmage right there, not fearing that anyone's going to be able to get behind them. So hopefully the Dogs do get a couple of those. And again, I mean, Jeremiah Holloman, I heard a lot about him this spring. And, you know, he had that long touchdown catch on the game Saturday. Had another nice catch along the sideline. But like I said, every time I saw him catch a ball, he was being covered by a walk-on.
Right.
And
that's where the spring games, it can be tough to decipher.
Right. And so I hope Jeremiah Holloman turns out to be a terrific impact player for Georgia this year. But I could also see him being a guy that, fast forward to the fall, all of a sudden's not playing, and you go back and think, man, I heard a lot about him this spring. Just think back to the G-Day game where, yeah, okay, but he was being covered by a walk-on. Who did win the most outstanding walk-on award, though? Tim Hill.
Oh, that's good. Maybe he can help.
All right, moving on to the 5-5. Georgia is down an offensive line signee. Deontay Demery got into an altercation with his girlfriend in downtown Athens, and Georgia has now released him from his letter of intent. Jeff, question number two, do you like the way Georgia handled this situation with Demery?
Absolutely. Right decision and done in a timely manner.
Yeah, it was like an hour, within an hour of him being released from jail that Kirby put out the statement, or Georgia put out the statement that Kirby had gone ahead and released him from his letter of intent. Now, I think the thing we'll all be watching is where he resurfaces. Whose fight song is that? Auburn's? Okay.
Just guessing.
Well, Louisville seems to be a spot of former Georgia defensive players have gone. Maybe he ends up at Mississippi State, because remember, Mullen caught a lot of grief last year for Jeffrey Simmons, who, you know, was really good at football. That's why he played. That's why Joe Mixon didn't get kicked out of Oklahoma, because he was good at football. And that's why I do applaud Georgia, because so is Deontay Demery. He was a four-star offensive line recruit who was pursued by Alabama. So that's the type of player sometimes that does go ahead and get a second chance from the institution that he's already at. But I like that Kirby was no nonsense on that front, because not all other schools are. And Joe Mixon is an example of that. Now you've even got the NFL. A guy's going to get drafted this weekend.
Somebody's going to take him, and I'll tell you, it's all you had to do is watch the Sugar Bowl. The guy is an elite back.
That's why Bob Stoops didn't get rid of him.
Right. I mean, he will probably be Fournette and Cook will probably be the first two backs taken. He's in that class. Yeah. He's that good.
I think McCaffrey's moving
Christian
up there.
McCaffrey, there you go. They're like the top four or five backs.
Now, he's not going to go early.
No.
I mean, quietly, somebody's going to draft him Saturday, and they're going to tell us that they've done their due diligence in looking into his background. And like, your due diligence, you're aware of his background. We all are. You just don't tell us you've done your due diligence. You just don't care what he's done, because he's good at running with a football.
And because you picked him later, it's not a huge financial investment either.
Yeah. I know the Raiders can't get Marshawn Lynch. They'll probably take him.
Which back would you take first?
I like McCaffrey.
Well, I think he's
more versatile.
Yeah, a lot of it depends on what kind of offense you got.
Yeah, I would take McCaffrey and Cook over Fournette.
Just worried about the tread on the tires.
Yeah, I just think he's one of those big. You know, the way he runs too is so big and powerful that, you know, you can run over Trey Matthews in the SEC, but like if you're just going to run into guys in the NFL, you're not going to last long. I don't care how big you are, because those guys playing defense for NFL defenses are bigger than the ones playing defense for Auburn's defense.
Yeah, it's like just pick out the all-SEC team, and that's what everybody's like in the pros.
Yeah. Although I guess technically he didn't run over Trigatray, because that was when Trigatray just sort of like dropped on the ground.
Little ole.
Like it was a fire drill. all right, Jeff, moving on in the 5-5. I did not sleep well this weekend, because Saturday morning before the G-Day game, I read that Georgia had another player decommit from its 2018 class, Adam Anderson, who then commits to LSU. Jeff, is this bad, or is this now, we didn't really want that guy anyway? Because now he committed to LSU, and the other kid, Max Ray, who decommitted, committed to Ohio State. So
yeah,
Georgia's losing guys, and like Urban Meyer's taking them, and now Coach O's grabbing one too.
Yeah, I was disappointed in Max Ray for decommitting. I mean, that's a guy that Georgia had locked in and spent a lot of time on early. I mean, same thing here for Adam Anderson, which also gets back to the point with some of these guys, which is another reason I don't like the early signing period. I don't know if they feel the need to go ahead and commit early. But, you know, it used to be if you had a guy really commit early, like 2 years out, it's like, well, all right, well, obviously he loves the school. He's sticking. And you usually wouldn't see the commitment start coming in until during a player's senior season. That used to be the timetable for it.
Right.
But now so many more guys are going early. So at the same time, so for Max Ray and Adam Anderson, Georgia's thinking, like, I'm sure, okay, these kids are committed. So this is a spotted offensive tackle. This is a spotted outside linebacker. Now all of a sudden these kids back away. You got to open that up and change your numbers some. So I still think Georgia's going to have a very good class. Like we said, it's not going to be as rated as highly this year just because the three quarterbacks from the state are ranked amongst top four or five players in the state. They're all going other places. I think Georgia will still do well in the state, not as good. Hopefully they'll shore up the offensive line and then go out of state to get some elite prospects, hopefully including Zamir White.
I mean, is it a sign potentially, though, because those guys also committed around the time that Georgia had all this buzz with the class that it ultimately signed in February.
Right.
Has that momentum now suddenly dying down, and maybe there's not as much of a buzz, or it doesn't feel as exciting and fresh now to go and commit to Georgia, and these guys are, going elsewhere? I mean, I get it. We're a long way from February.
Right, right. And it's not going to be like last season was a perfect storm with Kirby coming in, with Richard LeCount giving that early commitment and really being the ringleader, getting all those guys in there.
Sure.
Because the funny thing, you look at this class with the decommitments, but the 2019 class, which a lot of recruiting gurus are saying is going to be one of the deepest years in the state of Georgia, the Dogs are doing really good for 2019. So you feel like that buzz is there. But a lot of times you will see guys, they tend to follow along with some more of the elite players, which was so good with getting LeCount in. So I think that's another part of it, just with the numbers game, with the three quarterbacks going other places. Like usually if you get an elite quarterback or tailback, you're going to have some other guys follow along there. So, again, I think the 18 class is going to be very good. But it won't be as good as the 17 class, and it won't be as good as what the 2019 class is going to be.
But like the 18 class is probably never going to be as good as the 17 class, no matter what happened. Even if these guys hadn't decommitted, it feels like there was a time where all of a sudden it was like committing to Georgia was the thing to do, and now all of a sudden maybe it's not the thing to do, and it needs to get back to being the thing to do again.
And I think it is a thing to do for 2019. It's strange the way that's happened. Because, I mean, there's some talk. There could be 10 to 15 players from the state ranked in the top 100 nationally. And Georgia's leading and has commitments from, I think, four of them. And Georgia's leading on a bunch of those kids.
Yeah. Well, I'm hearing Nick Saban plans on retiring after this year. So
we know that's
that should
the
case. Help for 2019.
But it is, though, it is interesting this year. I think Georgia's got a great shot at Zamir White and Tyreek Johnson, the cornerback from Jacksonville, who's a five-star. So, maybe it's a deal where Georgia could go elite there. And this Jake Camarda is the number one-ranked kicker that Georgia gets. And I think Georgia's got a really good shot to get Jamari Salyer and Trey Hill, who are the two best offensive linemen in the state. But it might be a situation where this year it'll be solid in the state, but not as good as last year, not as good as what will happen in 19. But a couple of elite out-of-staters will boost it up. And probably going to go – I would guess – Georgia's going to probably go JUCO to get a defensive tackle as well.
For this year.
I don't know. I'm just
because it's not as stacked as it has been the last couple of years.
I looked, Chris, the day after last year's signing day for the top juniors, now rising seniors, and of the top 25 players in the state, there was one defensive lineman.
Yeah,
and he was committed to Florida State.
Well. High school coaches in Georgia need to get back to bulking up those D linemen. All right, we'll take a break. That's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Hey, by the way, I watched a bit of it before I ran over to Foley Saturday. There was a 30 for 30 on Rush Probst.
Oh, really? That high school coach with the two families?
Yes.
Yeah. Is he still?
He's at Colquitt, yeah.
He's still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because he was on the
two-a-days,
and with Jeremy Pruitt was his defensive coordinator. And Ross Wilson, who ended up playing second base for the Crimson Tide baseball team. He was their QB.
Pretty good life for him. Playing
not too
ball
bad.
For Bama, his big brother played QB. And, oh, my gosh, you're on MTV?
Yeah.
Maybe
not as good as Rush Probst had, though.
Oh.
Look out.
Can you imagine? Let me
I can't imagine. I mean,
one
wife is enough. I don't get these people that want more than one wife.
And like multiple kids and dogs and cats.
Yeah,
and
but I mean, hey, listen, if you want it, so be it. Have at it if you can handle it.
But let me, I mean, did you ever have a deal like when you were in college, maybe if you went out with two different girls in the same week? I mean, that was stressful enough.
I wasn't that cool.
Just going on a date with two different. I mean,
that was, yeah, in the same night.
But, I mean, two families?
I know.
So the story, and I had heard this too, that he interviewed with Saban. And, and he said, are these rumors about you true?
Yes, sir.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah. So, oh, I can't. We can't have that here.
No. And, I mean, he was really pushing. He wanted to be the OC after Mike Bobo left here.
Yeah, I remember that. He was throwing his name out there.
He's a heck of a coach, obviously.
Yeah, he's successful at high school level.
But it's like, yeah, that's going to be a hard hire.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
But Colquitt County, they needed a winner. They went 2-8 2 years later.
They're paying that guy almost $1 million a year.
Won back-to-back state titles.
Yep. All right, quick.